Oh, what? We're going to do a show?
Pepsi. Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever. It's the Boop Show for Monday, November 20th, 2017. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Dunaway. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Boop Show, episode 156. How's everybody doing? Brian, what are you doing over there? What's going on?
Oh, hi, Scott. Well, you know, I made the mistake of pre-Black Friday shopping yesterday, so I'm exhausted.
Oh, why'd you do that for? How come? Why early?
Well, because I figured the Sunday before Black Friday, that's got to be a good day to shop, right? People won't be out en masse, but
I don't know.
They were there.
I'm guessing it's still bad. Doesn't matter when you go.
It wasn't too terribly bad.
Did you go to a mall? Did you go to Target? Did you go to
Wow, you're calling them all. Keep going.
All right. Did you go to a Kohl's?
Yes.
Okay. Did you go to a TGI Fridays? TJ Maxx?
Were you following me?
No. I just know where my wife goes, and it sounds like that's where you go.
So. The only place you forgot was like Trader Joe's and World Market.
No, I like World Market. World Market always has some weird ass hot sauce you can't get anywhere else. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah, they do. I got and speaking of hot sauce, I got hot. What is it called? Fire trucks? Hot fire trucks or something like that?
No, pepper hot. I don't know what that is, but it sounds great. Is it good?
Oh, it's disgusting. It's like this black licorice with like pepper juice inside of it.
It is. I think that sounds really bad. I don't want
it. Is
that
bad?
Yeah.
And I thought I would get it and try it out last time I went, and it was, I ate like two or three and I was like, oh, these are just the worst. But then, you know, after five or six, I'm like, okay, not as bad. But then I said, you know what, I have a friend of mine who likes weird stuff, so I gave it to him, loved it, so he's getting a pack for Christmas. He doesn't listen to the show, so I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, we're not going to hear from him on this. It'll be fine.
No, he doesn't listen to the show. He thinks I'm stupid. Well, you do what now?
Yeah,
you do what?
I'm with you. Well, this last week was weird for me because my wife was out of town. And you'd say to yourself, oh, well, Scott, that sounds like prime game time. Here's the problem. Kim and I are a bit of a team. And when it comes to like getting kids where they need to go and having them up on time for school and making sure people are eating real food and all that stuff, turns out she does a big part of that. So when I was left to my own devices, I had to like kind of kick it up a notch dad-wise, and I had less time to play. But I did get a bunch of time into a few things. And I'll talk about them now.
What?
All right. Yesterday, well, the whole weekend, they had a free, free weekend on Steam. You know how this happens once in a while for certain games.
Right,
it's
right.
It's like, you can play this game for free and see if you like it or not. And you really, you're installing the entire game. It's just that you kind of have it on lease from Valve until they turn it off. Which is a nice reminder that they really own everything you have. And there's just one.
They really do.
There's really just one toggle switch that makes it so you can play it without any kind of interference. But anyway, that happened to Endless Space 2, a 4X strategy title that is based on the original Endless Space, which I played a ton of back in 2014 when it came out. I shouldn't say a ton. I played a fair amount of it. I liked it, but I never could get quite immersed in it. The idea is that you are trying to expand your colony of people to the stars and take over as many star systems as possible and either win through military means or through negotiating with other races and other planets, political stuff, science, that kind of thing. You know, you've played like a Civ game, right?
Political stuff.
Sure, political stuff.
You know. That's my favorite game mechanic, political stuff.
You should start a podcast called Political Stuff.
Political Stuff. I'm doing it right now.
I'd tune in. What would it be
about? I'd be right back.
What would it be about? What would you do? What would you say?
It would mostly be about Endless Space 2.
Great.
Right.
Perfect. That's exactly what people would expect. They'd see it in the politics section of their favorite podcast directory, and they'd just jump straight to it, and they'd go, wow, look at this. It's nothing like I thought it would be. But anyway.
I would sell it like, maybe like NPR style,
Oh yeah,
commentary.
Sure, yeah. Why not? Nice and quiet. You could be this close to the microphone, and
It'd be so juicy, juicy.
Yeah, you could, like, and you'd have interstitial music that would make you go like, here, I got some for you. So you'd say, and that's coming up next on political things. And then it would play that, and then you'd come back to it, and you'd talk a little bit more, and then. And
this one's brought to you by Support Like You, and also Hot Pepper Licorice Fire Truck Gummies.
Perfect, just what you need on those cold winter nights. There you go. See, we've got it all under control now. Right.
Right to get through doing your little thing, let's not forget to bring Eric Mahler in. He wants to tell us some stuff about his update on Mario Jump Rope.
Oh yeah, yeah. He just needs to call, and I'll add him to the thing.
Right.
So that's good to do that, because that's one of the that's one of the moons I don't have yet. All right. So Endless Space free to play weekend. Thought, sure, let's check it out. And what the other game was lacking in immersion, this sequel has in spades. So I'll talk about that at more length here in a second. But first, we welcome to the program one Eric Mahler, who has had additional time with Mario and says he's now got the automated best way to get that damn jump rope moon. So Eric, let's do a little follow-up. How did it go?
All right. So I am very sad to report that it was unsuccessful.
Oh no.
He was able to, you know, get in there. He was able to control Mario and get him jumping. But getting the timing right apparently is really, really hard. Mm-hmm. So in the end, he, after like a couple days of just banging his head against the wall trying to get that timing down, he just gave up. He called a friend who apparently is really good at that part, and they came over and did it for him, and now he's got them all.
Now remind me, that's a, he was doing some weird Arduino like programmed thing, right?
Right.
So you know, have you ever seen on the Miiverse back before it was, you know, gone, how there would be a drawing that looked like there was no way someone drew that, like a computer somehow intervened and did that.
Yeah.
Right.
He used some of the code that someone had made for doing that and put it in an Arduino, which he had connected with his Switch somehow, and then modified it to make Mario jump to get that jump roping moon, which is very difficult.
Right. And because they probably, I'm guessing here, so I don't know for sure, but it seems like maybe the creators of the game at some point knew that maybe somebody would try to do this. So the pattern isn't as copyable as he hoped.
It's like every time I try to submit a comment on YouTube and I have to fill out which one is a car. This is a car?
Yeah.
It's not on YouTube. Yeah. Yeah.
Or show us how many images. Tell us how many images don't have street signs in them.
This is the worst.
I hate that freaking thing. Freaking hate it.
I went through that six times today. Six times. Worst game. Worst game ever.
It's a bad game. And also, there's points in that game where it will you'll not choose a square that clearly has a sign in it, and it just says, okay, fine, whatever. Like, it doesn't seem to even care. So why is it even making me do it? It's a big, stupid joke. Anyway.
It is.
Point is, the automated the future robot way of beating the jump rope sequence to get that moon, that elusive moon in New Donk City, not an option. But you're telling me somebody, someone who's just good at it came over and did it?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, apparently that was all he had to do was call his buddy.
So here's the thing, though. Your friend, it's not like they were doing this to beat it necessarily. They were doing it for two reasons. One, to beat it, but also to say, hey, look at the cool thing I made to beat it. Right.
Exactly. That was kind of the other thing, because this person is a very techie guy. He writes code. He's, you know, messes around with that stuff. So it was kind of also just a hobby, just for funsy thing to see if he can make it happen. So it was sort of a success in that way, that he was able to at least get in there, make Mario jump. But just, you know, that I hadn't thought about the idea that maybe they did randomize the timing here and there to make it impossible to automate. Bet that's what happened.
I think that's what, I mean, even just a nanosecond here and there variation.
Yeah, right.
It would be hard for a human brain to notice, but a computer brain would fart all over that. They wouldn't know what to do. I mean, and if the computer brain knew what the process was or knew what the code was, well, then it could adapt perhaps. But I mean, let's not get crazy. Your friend's got a life, I'm sure. He's got stuff to do.
He even got to the point where he had started, he went to a YouTube video of someone having done it, and recorded the audio of Mario jumping and created some code that would make a timestamp for every jump sound.
Oh, wow.
And patch that in. Like, he went all out, but sadly, it did not work.
All right. Dunaway, you had a final you thought you were going to make there. I think I cut you
off. Oh, it's okay. No, I was just going to make some comment about Elon Musk and not getting the AI threat right because we're not that close just yet.
Mm. Yeah, he's right, worried about that, isn't he? He thinks the big, fast, smart AI is a bad deal. But what we've proven here is that if we can't get Mario to jump in time, we're okay.
I mean, if you can't even get an Arduino to trick out Mario, I mean, come on.
Well, it's fantastic to hear from you, Eric. Feel free to buzz in anytime you got anything cool like this. It's always fun. Right. We'll talk to you later.
Later.
All right.
Sweet.
So, Brian, where were we?
That was a good update. You was going to tell us more about Endless Space 2.
So Endless Space 2 is much more immersive. I feel like I'm actually in some sort of universe thing. I feel like the interface is a billion times better. There's a whole lot more going on. It feels more polished. I like a lot of things about it. Now, I've not had enough time to really go for it, but I'm going to get lost in that thing. Came out in like April, so it's been out for a little bit. But yeah, still
it's
this
on,
year.
It's on sale right now, like for $20.
Yeah, normally it's $40. It's on sale, half off deal, I think. Maybe it's $29.
Right.
I forget.
It's half off.
Is it? Okay.
You're right.
And so, you know, clearly they were looking to do a little promotion there and give it a 50% off deal, but also let people play it for free and see if they can't get a little hooked on it. If you like turn-based sort of 4X strategy type stuff, mm-hmm. you know, in the vein of Civilization or whatever, this is probably of interest to people listening. And they tend to support their games like crazy. They do really well with them. Their last game was Endless Legend, which came in between Endless Space 1 and 2. And it was like fantasy on the ground, you know, dragons and monkeys and stuff. And
dragons and monkeys.
together at last. And that game was really good also. So, and still worth playing. They supported the hell out of that. Tons of DLC and free updates and other stuff. Anyway, they've got my money. I was happy to give them half off.
Well, yeah. I just added it to my wish list. By the way, people out there, I was kind of looking around to give a couple of little games away on people on my friends list on Steam, and I was looking at some of the wish lists, and I noticed that some people have wish lists to every game they've ever seen ever.
Yeah, they'll do that. People will do that, and it's kind of lame that they do that.
I try to keep it under 10, but near Christmas, I kind of expand a little bit. I'm up to 14. So Endless Space, do I need to put it over top of Flint Hook? Or maybe Resident Evil 7.
They couldn't be more different in terms of genre. Everything you just mentioned is like miles away from each other. However,
right.
Given that, I think you can just kind of randomly put it wherever you want it. Like, I don't think it's going to matter.
I'm putting it right under Friday the 13th. That's number 3. There we go.
I've got about 80 on my wish list, but I don't just go through.
Holy Moses!
I don't wish for everything. It's just over time, it adds up, and I forget to clean it out. So
I prune mine. Yeah. Prune mine like every month.
And I assume once you get one, it no longer shows it on the wish list, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. So Endless Space 2 used to be on my wish list. It's not there now because I finally picked it up. Speaking of giving away games, by the way, throughout today's show, I'm going to give away a handful of game codes for Steam for people who want to get Cave Blazers. So if you're listening live to the show right now, I'll do some more of these on Twitter and other places so those who aren't listening live can partake. But if you would like to win a free copy of Cave Blazers, a fantastic little roguelike RPG hybrid thing that I really enjoy, then let me know in the chat and I will send you private messages with said codes. Also plugging away on Origins and Mario. So that's still a thing. Origins is still great. Mario is still great. That Mario stuff is all in game. I'm just gathering, like I said last week, moons that I haven't gotten yet. I couldn't tell you my total cause I forgot to check before the show, but I'm getting there and I'm trying to do most of them just through exploration and kind of bumping into it myself.
Right.
And not too much reliance on either the in-game hint system or the internet, which is often a good place to get information about things.
It is and it isn't. I don't want to show my hand.
You don't
want to talk about that.
Well, no, hold on. Tell me more. What do you mean show your hand? Give me.
Okay.
What?
Yeah. Let me tell you this. Okay. So I finally completed Stranger Things, the game.
Okay.
I did 100%. Okay. 100%. Now, I'd actually accomplished getting all the Egos, and what I really wanted to do was get all the tapes so I could watch the trailer, which had already, you know, for the show that already came out, but I still wanted to see it.
Right.
And so, but I wanted to get to 100%. And I was at about 72%, and I just couldn't find some things because I was going to these walkthroughs online, and it would seem like...
I can't believe this dumb mobile game has this much stuff around it. Sorry, go ahead.
It's huge, but there's so much disinformation about where things are. I'm like, what? It's like, okay, it says go, like, I think one of them was, one person said, oh, well, to get this, you go to the south of Nancy's house. And I'm like, okay. So I spent like, you know, 30 minutes looking in every nook and cranny south of Nancy's house and went back and looked, and somebody said, yeah, it's like below the forest maze, right near Nancy's house. I'm like, Nancy's house is nowhere near the forest maze. So I spent like at least an hour doing that, and I finally complained about it on Twitter, yeah. And immediately, you know, Twitter was like, dude, it's right here. Yeah. Go east, and it is below the forest maze, nowhere near Nancy's house. Go here. And I was like, sweet. I went and did it. And so I've had a little bit of success and a little bit of failure with the walkthroughs. Are you having any failures on your walkthroughs you're getting? Or is everything solid?
I'm not playing that damn thing ever again. I played it through.
Well, no. I'm not talking about Stranger Things. I'm talking about these walkthroughs you're
Sometimes, Mario. Yeah. Like, it's a great way to troll people, which is partly why I don't use it. I mean, I've seen entire videos where they fake a way to do a game.
Oh my God, I'd kill you.
Yeah. An entire thing faked. And then what people do is they go, oh, well, I'll go try all that. They try it. It doesn't work at all. And then the YouTuber's like, meh. I mean, you can only get away with that once or twice before everyone knows you're full of shit. But that being said, I'm trying to avoid those because I want to get as many as I can just because I'm walking around being smart. When I get to a point where that's the best I can do, then I'll start looking at some guides and stuff. But for now, right. I'm good.
Oh, by the way, for those watching the video, I rewarded myself for 100% completion by getting the Stranger Things shirt.
Oh, look at that. Look at you. You didn't really, did you?
Of course I did.
No, you went. You 100% of the game and then went and bought a shirt to celebrate?
That's right. I threw my phone down and I ran out the front door. I'm going to get a shirt.
You're the weirdest person I know. I love it. I love it. Don't change. Be that. Be your best self always. All right. Well, that's good. So the big question on everyone's head, you were supposed to play Don't Starve between last time we talked and now because you hadn't really played that. Don't Starve Shipwrecked. That's the version, right? Or the expansion or whatever. So how did that go?
That's the DLC. Right. Yeah. Okay. So I've played Don't Starve a little bit, the original survival game. I'm not the greatest survival game player, but I really wanted to play because I'd seen someone online playing it with a Steam controller, and this got me to get my Steam controller back out because I was like, you know what, I might try this. So I did, but I also bought the DLC for Shipwrecked, which was on sale on Steam like about a week ago or so, and I didn't play it right away. I just jumped right into Don't Starve. Try to get caught back up a little bit, and you know, I was making it 3-4 days most time. So, you know, I'm not that great. Mm-hmm. And so, but then I got to this one time that it spawned, and I you have to get wood and you have to get flint. So you can pick twigs up and do that, and then get some flint, and you can make an axe, and then you can survive. Well, for some reason I spawned somewhere that did not have any flint. Mm-hmm. Not a single piece of flint anywhere. And I explored that map for like 5 days. I survived the longest by not having flint because what I was doing was I was just lighting torches and just burning down forest all night long. Mm. Every time it would hit dark, I would just go through and I would just burn down the forest and I'd run around and I'd pick up pig meat, roasted pig meat. Mm-hmm. And eventually I just got sick of it because I was like, where's all the flint? And then I went on the internet to look for some walkthroughs. I'm like, well, maybe it happens. Nobody. It doesn't happen to anybody. Mm. Nobody. Just me.
Yeah.
Just me.
Yeah. That's why I don't like these games. I'm terrible at them. Everything you just described.
Oh, what?
Everything you just described makes me glad I'm not playing survival games.
The fun thing about this survival game, which was a lot more apparent when I started playing Shipwreck, was my insanity. which is one part that becomes kind of interesting about shipwreck is when your health drops down to a certain point or you get hungry enough, you'll start seeing things, and those things can start attacking you, even though they don't actually exist. And I enjoyed it. I had a good time. Yeah. I had fun building myself a raft and then going out in the middle of the ocean and grabbing the waves and kind of getting the speed boost and flying through the ocean waters. And then getting to this one island where there's bananas and stuff and picking up bananas. And suddenly there's monkeys there. And I accidentally hit one of them and they go ape shit.
Yeah. No.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I say that one?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they go sure. Ape shit. Why not? We got. Listen, we're PG-13. We can do this. We're good.
But, you know, at first I felt bad and they kept chasing around flinging poo at me. You haven't played Shipwreck, have you? Okay. No. So like if you hit a monkey. Yeah. Oh, you have played it?
No, I have not. I played the base game and nothing since then.
Right. It's a little bit different because you got a longer day cycle and a shorter night cycle because you have to do a lot of floating around in your raft. Anyway, yeah, so they're flinging the poo at me, which is really disgusting. And they'll chase you and fling the poo all like for forever. And so, but the thing that really started annoying me and started making the game fun for me was the monkeys like follow you everywhere you go and they're constantly stealing your crap.
Yeah.
And so I accidentally dropped my axe one time and a monkey just came right up and took it right out of my hands, and I'm like, I'm gonna die. And this is why you don't like the survival games, because you get frustrated, right? Isn't all gaming about trying to survive and not die?
No, some of them are, but well, yes, there are always stakes, but this thing's right. Got three stakes and they're all, I'm sorry, four. Here you go, ready? You got your stomach BS. So am I hungry now? I don't know, I might be starving, I'm going to starve to death. And then you have your insanity thing. Or am I going crazy? Right. I don't know. I might be hungry and going crazy. Those are two really hard things. And then I have a life bar, which is like, oh, shit, I'm dying and starving and hungry. This is terrible. And the fourth thing is, it's nighttime. Shit. We got to, like, have a fire. And, you know, I can't survive without the fire. And then just keep doing that. And then, oh, no, okay, we got daylight again. Hurry up. We only have so much daylight. Oh, shit, it's dark again. I hate it. It feels like I'm on a timer all the time. Maybe it's too much like real life or something. I don't know. I don't know.
Right. But hey, I like it. I haven't played Don't Starve Together. I haven't played multiplayer yet. I want to do that this week. I'd like probably live stream some of that. So I'm having fun with it. I really dig the art style.
I love the art style. I'll say that.
And I kind of dig the way the game kind of harasses you. I mean, just with those monkeys stealing your crap, it makes me laugh. It makes me angry at the same time.
I understand, and I'm with you on, you know, I'm with you on almost everything except for how it actually plays. And this is just me. I admit it's a me problem. My kids love this game. This is a huge hit for Klee. I love Klee games. All of their games are great to me. Invisible Ink's one of my favorite games ever. They made that in 2015. I don't remember when Don't Starve happened. Maybe that was before that, but. They know what they're doing, and I will play their games when they come out, regardless of what it is. It's just the genre, because what they went for here was straight up survival, DayZ style, Rust, all those games. That's what they made.
But they made it like arcade level, right? Independent arcade level kind of thing.
Did they though? Did they?
A little lighter fare.
Oh, it's super lighter fare, but all of the tropes are still there. Limited inventory. My hearts are going away. My brain hurts. My stomach's empty. It's dark. All of that shit that I just said is what I don't like about Don't Starve.
Together, what about the nonsense talk? Everything's like nonsense talk.
I do like that. I'm a big fan of, you know what I could go for? Okay, here's what I want them to make next, and I'm sure they're not doing this, but Klee Entertainment makes some pretty great games. If they could make a Animal Crossing-style game set in this universe, but take out all the survival poop, oh man, I'd be so into that. I'd be checking that I'd put that on the Switch, dude. I'd be playing that every minute of the day that I got a chance to play it. It'd be amazing.
Right.
Amazing.
Done with it. Amazing.
I keep hearing Frick. Oxygen Not Included is good.
I do too.
It is. That's their latest game. It's still in early access.
Yeah, also on my wish list. Yep,
yeah,
yep.
It's mine as well. I want to try it, but I'm nervous to try it because I'm worried they're going to make me feel all survivory again.
Right.
And I don't want to do that.
Just talking about it right now is making me move it from number 12 to number one.
Jeez, my wish. Aren't you easy? Hey, Brian, I need a PlayStation 4 Pro. You should put that top of your list.
Right, I wish. That'd be great. But yeah, hey, anyway. Okay, so I had fun with Don't Starve. Going to do more of that this next week, so yeah. Scott can't wait to hear about it. I love boring Scott to death with Don't Starve news.
Yeah.
But more Cuphead. I actually acquired two souls. No?
Two souls? Three souls. Yeah. What? Three?
Three.
Jeez.
Yeah. One of them, it was really tough because I had a high five a bunch of ghosts.
You're like a professional. You're like a professional gamer now.
Right.
Because you got those three souls. I mean, I shouldn't laugh. Wait, they're hard as hell.
I'm
going to
go out
get.
And I'm going to buy me a Cuphead t-shirt. You laugh, but as soon as I finish, Cuphead t-shirt.
I've seen those. There's cool Cuphead t-shirts already available. They're out there. You can get Mugman shirts as well.
Right.
His idiot brother, Mugman.
Not an idiot.
Well, he's all right.
He's all right.
He gets the job done. Anyway, that's what we've been up to. Lots more to come this week. Oh, and lots of Heroes. I've been playing a lot of Heroes of the Storm. It's great. Game's great. Alex Straza is a fantastic character. And I will say this again for the record, and I've said it many times on my show, Core, which you can catch on Wednesdays, all about Heroes of the Storm. Stukov, perhaps the greatest hero in the history of Heroes. And I don't just mean that game. I mean of all time.
All? That is...
Well, maybe not, but he's great. He's so great. He's such a wonderful man. Anyway, there's that. Time to dive into the news. Let's start with Nintendo. Animal Crossing Pocket Camp is coming out for mobile on November 22nd. So in about two days. You'll get Animal Crossing's first mobile game, Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. Where are you at with this? Do you want this?
Of course I want it. It's Pocket Camp. So yeah, I'm getting it.
Okay.
Hey, pre-registration for the game. Can pre-reg?
Yeah, you could have. I think that was already going on. But it doesn't matter because when it comes out, it's just out. You just get it on the 22nd. So just wait. Who cares about pre-registration? I guess pre-registration just locks a name in or something, but who gives a poo? Like, just when it comes, play it. Don't worry about it. They announced this thing originally in their direct presentation about the project a while back. It was supposed to come out last year, 2016. Didn't happen. Basically a whole year later, we're now getting it. I think they revamped it and decided how to a better way to make sure they made money on it. The Mario game did okay, but the real money maker for them was Fire Emblem on mobile. That thing made a crap ton of money, and it was because of the way the microtransactions work there. I think they've gone back to that. Now, I haven't played it and I haven't looked at a lot of previews. Also, I know it's set in a camp thing and it's less three-dimensional than the traditional game. I by no means think that this is the new Animal Crossing here and forever. I think this is like Mario, a mobile effort, and they will have a proper ass Animal Crossing game out on the Switch at some point.
Have to.
I'm very excited about that, whenever that happens. But for now, this is going to have to do. So in this game, you manage your own campsites. You can then personalize, build up both your character and your campsite, decorate with a variety of buildings and furniture.
Decorating?
Yeah.
Look out.
I know, big shock. Furniture can be crafted through collectible. System works by visiting nearby recreation sites, doing favors for the animal inhabitants of collecting rewards rewards. After that, players head over to the Alpaca Blacksmith Cyrus with their new crafting material.
I was betting in my head you were going to say alpaca wrong.
Yeah. What did you think I was going to say? Alpaca? Alpachia? What did you think I was going to say?
Alpaca or something. Apica?
Apica? No, I know what an alpaca is, you know. Different animals have different furniture pieces and preferences, so creating and decorating the campsite with their ideal pieces will entice them to come visit campsites and increase players' friendship level with them. So they're really playing up that aspect. As far as I know, you're not collecting any fruit, which kind of sucks. You're not farming any of the stuff that you're growing. This is not a true Animal Crossing game. It is some weird-ass mobile thing, and that's fine. It's fine.
It's gonna be fun.
I'm sure it'll be all right.
For a minute.
Yeah. We'll get it, though. We'll talk about it on the show.
Oh, it's a no-brainer. We'll have it for next week,
yeah,
right?
We'll talk about it on Monday.
We're one of the countries that gets it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on Monday when we think of it. Also, the SNES and other Nintendo news. The SNES Classic outsold the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One again in October. So for the entire month of October, there were more of the SNES Classic sold than the PS4 and Xbox were able to sell units. That's not good.
That's both amazing and so what? Because we're talking about a $70 game system versus, you know, three.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I understand. Plus, like, look at it in context. When there was no SNES Classic to buy and these consoles were brand new, they were outselling everything. So now we're in this stage of like slowing down a little bit. The Xbox One X just started shipping. PlayStation 4 and Pro are out there. Xbox S or whatever it's called. Yeah, the Xbox One S is out there. So they're in the holding pattern period. It isn't everybody's not buying a new console every 6 months. So of course it sold really well, but it's an interesting number.
Right, but it is an interesting take to think that a SNES Classic, which is basically based on really what year was SNES original?
The original was like 92, was it? 93?
Something like that.
Six,
yeah, so
5 4
amazing two. Amazing to think something that would come back around and outsell anything is just amazing.
91? 90?
I kept thinking 96, but I know that was way off.
Yeah, I can't remember. Anyway, there's that. And congratulations, Nintendo. The Switch is selling really well. And so
don't buy those on eBay for $129, by the way, because I saw like in our Walmart, I saw one last week. Okay. So, I mean,
yeah, they're making plenty more this time. They're not screwing you over. Just go get them and they'll have more even next year if you can't get them this year. So there's no reason to go out and go crazy. But that's kind of Nintendo's fault because with the NES, they were so limited on stock that it just prepared everybody to go straight to eBay the minute they found one.
Yeah.
But what, Brian, if I found one tomorrow on eBay, or not on eBay, just in a store, and I bought it for regular price, what would you say? What would you say if I put it on eBay and tried to sell it for like $200? What would you do?
I would say you're a capitalist. Way to go.
Yeah, taking advantage of the people.
Right. I wouldn't say you're taking advantage of the people because you're not forcing anyone to purchase it. Now, if you went to the store and they had eight and you bought all eight, I'd be like, you're kind of a dick.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
Right. But if you just found one, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
You're just trying to cash in. I got you.
Quick final note. Cattle Tube on the chat says, have you tried Switch Skyrim? I've been holding off because, I've been hearing really good things about Skyrim on the Switch, first of all. Like, it way better than it should be, and people are shocked at how well it plays there, and it still holds up, but is even better on that platform, and now that it's sort of mobile-ish, it's even better, and blah, 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 okay? So that's great. I didn't get it yet because I have bought now 4 versions of Skyrim over since 2011 when the original game came out, and I've had 2 versions on the PC. I've played it mostly twice. Hundreds of hours each playthrough. It's one of my favorite games of all time, but I don't know if I can do another
Obviously.
One. Can I do another one?
Sure.
I don't know, man.
Why not?
I'm sure there are a few frame rate issues, especially on the TV, but if you can get that Skyrim experience in your hand, laying there in bed or sitting on the can, oh, man, might have to spring for it. All right, moving on to Microsoft news. They got a big Black Friday thing going on already, some early deals. Would you like to hear about these deals?
Well, of course I would, because Black Friday.
All right, here's the deal. Microsoft Store may not be the first retailer that comes to mind when you think about Black Friday sales, but you might want to head over there and check it out. You won't find any PS4 or Nintendo Switch discounts there, but if you're in the market for an Xbox One or PC games or hardware, they've got some options in terms of consoles. Here are your options. You got the Xbox One S and the Xbox One X One, or no, Xbox One X and Xbox One S. I hate their naming convention. I really hate it.
Yes, it's tough.
You can actually place an order prior to Black Friday. Microsoft Store will roll out offers through next week on Sunday the 19th. It will take $50 off the price of the special edition 1 TB S bundle, which would bring it down to $350. That's a pretty good savings. That's a game right there if you want to buy a game. Throw in a pair of free games. One of these, let's see, is from a limited selection of older titles like The Division and The Crew. But the others include new releases. Yeah, they're great games. Well, The Division's a pretty good game. The Crew's not so great. It's okay.
Right.
It's not great. New releases like Star Wars Battlefront 2 is also an option. Call of Duty World War 2, Middle Earth Shadow of War, Forza Motorsport 7.
Murder Spurt.
And Assassin's Creed Origins, a fantastic game. So they have a similar but cheaper option. Involves the 500 gigabyte Xbox One S starter. The primary feature of this is 3 months of Xbox Game Pass. That's not live, but Game Pass. It will also be $50 off, bringing it down to $229. That's a hell of a deal. And on the 19th, it gets you some more free games. Let's see. The cheapest option arrives on the 23rd for $189.
They're giving them away.
Yeah, that's a 1S also. And a free select game, your choice of Watch Dogs 2 Gold Edition or Steep. Or Assassin's Creed, the Ezio Collection, or just Dance. Gee, I wonder if there's anything familiar about these games and these bundles. They might all be made by Ubisoft for some reason. I don't know why.
It might be. Also, it's on the 23rd, which is the Turkey Day here in the U.S.
Is it the 23rd? I thought it was 24th is Turkey Day, no?
No, not this year. Thursday, 23rd, right? No. Isn't it the Thursday, right?
Yeah, but they don't. You know, they're open. Just get on the internet and boom, you're good. But I don't know why these are all Ubisoft games. They must not have sold very well on that platform, I mean. There must be a stockpile someplace of a ton of old Ubisoft games that they can't move.
They just have a whole bunch of codes. You're like, will these be actual physical discs or will this be I'm pretty sure these can be codes, right? Isn't that the thing?
These are probably codes, yeah.
Little card.
Yeah. Why would they do anything else? That'd be weird, right? Seems
weird, funky.
Yeah. Anyway, there's that. Congratulations to them. Finally, Star Wars Battlefront 2, and I'm using this in the Microsoft area, even though this applies to all of its versions. The microtransactions have been temporarily removed. This happened a few days ago. EA stopped selling Battlefront 2's premium currency, which they call crystals, ahead of the game's launch. these aren't gone forever, but they didn't say anything about when they might come back. Their quote was this, and this is on the tail end of a very controversial, very crazy week. We're not going to get into all the details again. We talked some about loot boxes and stuff last week. There's no need to rehash it all. But this is what they said. We heard you loud and clear, so we're turning off all in-game purchases, says DICE's GM Oscar Gabrielson. He then went on to say, quote, we will now spend more time listening, adjusting, balancing, and tuning, unquote. From people I've talked to who have played the game to its fullest extent, both multiplayer and single player, they think the game's got deeper problems that have nothing to do with the crystals. And it's mostly about progression in the game itself is just kind of weird and not well designed. Right. So a pretty game, a beautiful sounding, wonderful game in that regard with kind of a bad progression. So that's the stance on that. So whether you are an Xbox One, a PlayStation 4, or a PC buyer of that game, maybe you're happy don't have to buy crystals now. I don't know.
Right. Is anybody angry about the microtransactions? Like, now I wanted to buy microtransactions. I wanted to do it that way. No.
Yeah. You know, maybe. People are, I'm sure that there's somebody out there who doesn't know about this. In fact, I'm sure that quite a few people are. I'll bet this game sells great. And it's because most people are just like, what game has Star Wars on it? That's the game I want, Mom. They're not checking Reddit every day. They're not looking at all the pissed off people. They don't know. So they're just going to buy it, and they're going to play it, and they're going to probably think it's fine.
It is fine.
Is it, though?
It's for people like us. We freak out because
I'm not buying it. I'm not wasting my money on it because I'm pissed about the way they handled it.
I said I'm not giving you money. My money.
No money.
I'm not getting it.
No money. No money for you. In Sony news, you can celebrate Uncharted's 10th birthday with free stuff on the PlayStation 4. 10 years.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy.
10 years, dude. 10 years. That means 10 years since. Oh my gosh, that's how long I've had PS3. No.
Right.
I bought it right after. I got it a little late. Maybe it was right around the time Uncharted 1 shipped. I don't remember now. But anyway, Uncharted. The 10th anniversary happened, and they're gonna give you a deal here on November 19th, 2007. Was the game's launch date on PlayStation 3, and to celebrate, they're offering free packages of PS4 bling that players can pick up over the next 2 days. So, here's what you get in the anniversary bundle. Are you ready? Is your body ready?
I've already downloaded mine.
Oh, well then, all right then. Avatars and themes, and it's all free. Here's what you're going to get. Uncharted 10th Anniversary theme, 10th Anniversary Avatar, Drake's Fortune Remastered Dynamic theme, Uncharted 2 Among Thieves Remastered Dynamic theme, Uncharted 4 A Thieves' End Fire Dynamic theme, Shipwreck theme, End Ink Dynamic theme. These are all for four. And End Avatar Pack 1. So go get it, I guess.
I gotta say, the themes on the PS4,
just wallpapers. They're just wallpapers.
I think well, it's more than wallpapers, but you know, it's an overall experience. I wish it was more robust. I've always had a trouble with their themes, and I really get mad when I see one that is charging for it. And I'm like, for no better than it is, I would love to see something a little bit better next time around.
Yeah.
When it comes to themes. Now, I'm pretty excited about the free themes because I like to theme mine. I do it.
Sure, why not? Sure. They also say, if you have Uncharted 4 at Thieves' End, there is a bundle of multiplayer skins being offered for free as well. And Uncharted point and relic items are half off. These offers good till December 19th. So
do it.
Get on it, enjoy it, and have fun. And finally, in PlayStation news, Doom VFR will get its own PlayStation VR bundle. Sony announced another way for the VR bundle to get into your nasty little hands. It's going to retail for $399.99. Includes the newest version of the PlayStation VR headset, the PlayStation camera peripheral, and a disc, a physical disc, with 13 PSVR demos on it. The new product is referred to as the PlayStation VR VR Doom VFR bundle, which I assume means virtual effing reality, I assume.
What's the F stand for in the...
Got to be effing. It's got to be effing, right? Because it's Doom.
Right. Because it's got the big the BFG, right? Yeah.
Big effing gun, yeah. That's coming out on the 1st of December. So the game's included. I don't know if I said that or not, but that is the copy of the game is in there as well. There's also that Skyrim bundle, which is out now. That one's $449. Mm-hmm. Comes with Skyrim, the new VR Skyrim version, PSVR headset, and camera, and the discs and the Move controllers, I guess. So you get the whole thing there for $449.
The whole thing, the whole everything. Shooter.
I don't
that
know.
That should be $399.
But they're throwing in Move controllers. I think that would make it impossible for them to do that.
Move controllers are worth like 50 cents.
Are they? Maybe they are. Move over to the PC for a minute. Overwatch's new hero, Moira. Is now available. She's also on console, obviously. But anyway, it happened kind of early. No one expected to see this week, but she is out and playable now. She's a new support hero, making 26 total heroes in the game of Overwatch. If you have a PlayStation 4, Windows PC, or Xbox One, you're in good shape. You probably already got it. Many of you have already played it, but we haven't talked to you since last Monday, so we're talking about it now. Was kind of fast. Barely showed her and announced her. Like, straight up raw announcement happened just 2 weeks ago at BlizzCon. And then she hit the PTR right after that. And then she was barely there. And we played her a bit there, but not that big a deal. I thought we weren't going to see her till at least, I don't know, maybe even December. So, right. Super surprised by that. She does massive damage to her foes as well as healing of her teammates. She's like a spellcaster, kind of. She's awesome. And you should go play her if you haven't yet.
You think this is maybe like to create a little buzz around the game right before Christmas to kind of go, hey, look at me, we got something cool.
I think their Game of the Year edition is shipping. They have their free weekend going on this weekend, or just finished maybe. Or is it next weekend? Whatever it is. I think they're just happy to get something big like this out. I also think she was super tested and already pretty refined, yeah. So I don't think there was a lot of reason to need her in the PTR for very long. And the game generally needed another healer, so she, you know, she's fitting.
Like her in the PTR.
She's pretty good. She runs like an idiot, though. Like an idiot. Blizzard, are you listening? She runs like an idiot.
So you can relate.
What?
They didn't mocap you for that? I really thought they did.
Have you seen Tina Belcher run with her arms behind her? You know what I'm talking
about?
Yes,
I love Tina Belcher's run.
That's how Moira runs.
Love it.
Yeah. Anyway, it's out now. Check it out. Also, PUBG had their very first champions crowned for its first stadium event this weekend. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds Invitational took place at the Intel Extreme Masters Oakland Tournament in Oakland, California. And
I'm sorry, that's just too much of a name.
You think so? I don't know.
Back off a little bit.
It says here that, let's see, a competition ran from the 18th to the 19th, and I guess that just ended yesterday then, and pit 20 teams from around the globe in a series of matches, which ultimately saw French team AAA against All Authority as their name.
Right.
Psh, whatever. Until the Germans hit the beach, and then we'll come help you. It's fine.
Oh, you know, that's getting a little old for them French folks. You know what I'm saying? They're just
is it?
A little bit tired of us bringing that up.
I like bringing it up to Patrick. I like that. I like tormenting him directly. So,
do you think they get tired of it though? I'm sure they probably do.
I'm sure they do. They want to punch me in the face by at this point.
Right.
Anyway, 2 days of competition. They finished in the top of the standings with 1,620 points and 38 kills, taking home the grand prize of $60,000 US.
That is a lot of French coins.
Well, for their first thing like this, yes. But that's right. It's all in American dollars. That's that amount. I don't know what that translates to euros right now. I don't know if the euro is doing well or whatever. There's no more francs or French dollars, as you call them.
Look at you, French dollars.
Let's see. Another U.S. team. Oh, a TSM finished the competition in sixth place. Temple Storm amassed, did okay. Let's see. Ghost Gaming rounded out the top three with 31 kills, 1375 points. I actually meant to watch this. I wanted to see how this went. But
I'm a little bit disturbed that the U.S. didn't get first. I've been told we're number one, and
no,
and then we lost to the French.
We lose to everybody, dude. We have teams in every major esport, and we get our asses kicked usually by the Koreans or the Chinese.
But how? Look at us. We're built for gaming.
We write and create these things, and then we suck on the back end. Like they have entire. My brother was talking to me about this last time he was in Korea. Went and saw a couple of these. They have these huge campuses where in them they have dedicated teams. These are multi-million, sometimes billion-dollar organizations that run teams, and they run teams for Overwatch, for League of Legends, for Heroes of the Storm, for Counter-Strike Go, like across the board, all the big games, and likely this game. And they live there like you're part of a college. You're in your own dorm. You're all working out and eating together and playing together and doing your strategies together. You have a coach. They don't do that here. It's just some schmo at home. We don't take it as seriously. That's all.
That's too bad. What's that name of that that series that got picked up on Netflix? It's all about that game academy kind of video game high school.
Oh, I haven't
you
seen
ever watched that.
No.
You ever seen that series on Netflix?
Is it good?
I think it's based on a YouTube thing. That but yeah, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like a video game high school, and it's kind of got that attitude, and that's how you stay there. You got to be good enough, get to play. So why is that not a reality? I can't believe it's not a reality.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. I mean, we have gaming houses here, but they're not even close to this. The Koreans, the Asians just generally are killing us, and Europe's doing
pretty
good.
We're losing to the French.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we made a cool video game, and now the world dominates us in our own game. Whatever. We're just a big world community. I don't care. I like the Chinese. I have three Korean siblings that I grew up with. They can kick my ass in StarCraft anytime they want.
Do you think it's an attitude problem? Because I recently did get asked by my fiance. She said, "Don't you desire to be number one at anything?" And I'm like, "What?" Because she's right. I don't really care about, because when we play games, I'm just kind of like, eh. You know, if I lose, like, eh.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's like, eh.
That's me, so too. I don't think that's everybody. Like, eh. I don't think that's everybody, but I am like the guy in the big competitive matches in Overwatch or Heroes or whatever, where it ends, and I'm like, well, it was fun anyway. I had a good time, even though we lost, and everyone else is like, they're all tilted and saucy.
That is my number one place. If I've had more fun than you have, I'm number one.
Yeah. That game is not made in Korea, is it? I know Blue Hole's in Korea. Chat room saying that the game is made in Korea. I don't think it is. I don't think PUBG is a Korean. I thought he made it here. Maybe they do it there now after all the money came rolling in.
Money.
I don't think it started that way, though. I could be wrong. I don't know anything about nothing. Cattle. Cattle tube. Ugh. Anyway,
he
in the chat says it is. Okay, well, I maybe had that wrong. I thought it started. Are you sure? Always has. Are you sure? Was it Blue Hole from the beginning, and were they always developing in Korea?
Look at this. Kalatube got more information, too. You're a look, it's in your home state. Video gaming becomes a scholarship sport at University of Utah.
Yeah, it's a my daughter works for that department up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can do real things up there now. Yeah, the chat room's arguing about whether or not he's Irish or Scottish. He's Irish, I think. The creator of Player Unknown. The Player Unknown himself, I think, is Irish. But maybe he's over in Korea now. I don't know what's going on.
Maybe we need to dox him.
Let's do it. Let's dox him.
Then we'll know everything we need to know. Well, we can't do it. We don't have any information. We can't dox him.
Do you have his address? Let's do this. Don't do that. Okay, look at this here, everybody. An email address I can give you. Boopshow@gmail.com. We got an email from John. Wrote in and says, hey guys, you guys ever tried the free-to-play game Warframe? It's like Diablo, but ninjas in space. The way he spelled it, though, is it's like Dabluo, but ninjas in space.
Dabluo.
I shouldn't laugh. I always typo stuff. Dude,
it's great. My favorite part is the fact he didn't capitalize the D in Diablo.
Yeah, he really didn't. They really didn't put the D in Diablo. I have played it. I played the hell out of it early on in its development, and I played it since, and recently even. It's good. It's basically it's Destiny before Destiny got to be Destiny. It's hard to explain, but it's obviously a much lower profile game than Destiny in terms of, you know, notoriety or whatever. But it's a pretty cool game, and it is a lot like Diablo. It's space loot, and you are kind of space ninjas, and there's cool guns, and it's a cool game.
I like the character designs.
Have you played it before? Have you given
that a swing? Oh, yeah. I love it. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It kind of reminds me that the character design kind of reminds me of that old, what was that game? It's a Microsoft game.
Oh.
Murder, Death, Kill. MDK?
MDK, yeah. With the the guy would float down with the weird floaty part.
Yeah.
Totally that style, isn't it? Who made that? That was the Earthworm Jim guy, right?
I think you're right. Let's see. I love me some MDK. That was so much fun back in the day.
Weird game.
Hey, it rhymed.
Yeah, what a weird game that was. I wouldn't mind seeing somebody try to do that again. Like, get that game back.
1997 third-person shooter video game developed by Shiny Entertainment.
Yeah, Shiny. So that's Tim... No. What's the guy's name at Shiny? Gosh dang it. This is going to drive me crazy. Shiny.
Gosh, David Perry.
David Perry. That's it. I knew it.
I knew it. I didn't know it, but you said it. Once I heard it,
Steve,
I knew it.
Steve Perry. Right. Got it. MDK. Let me see if I can find a video of this. I want to look at this game. Now you got me thinking about
that game. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look at this. What a weird old game. Anyway, what are you going to do? Nothing, really. You can't do nothing.
Nothing.
That's it for the emails. Hey, boopshow@gmail.com. And do try it out, everybody. It's on PlayStation. It's on Xbox. It's on PC. It's still a very pretty game. They've been cranking at it for a while. It's very polished now. That is the free-to-play video game. You just download it and try it. Called Warframe. It's a kind of a weird name, though. Don't you think? Warframe?
Yeah, it didn't... I never could... I kind of skip through the story parts, so I'm sure it means something. I just skip.
You skip. That's play. What you do. Skip play. I want to play. I don't want to watch. I want to play.
I don't want to. I'm not reading this. X. I'm not. Let's go.
I'm with Brian. All right, that's going to do it for us. Let's get out of here. Frogpants.com/BOOP is the website, and you will find everything there you might need to know about the show. Frogpants.com/boopshow. Sorry, just boop. Just boop. Boopshow@gmail.com is the email address. Boopshow on Twitter. And if you want to support the show, you can do so over at patreon.com/frogpants. I think that's going to do it. Brian will try not to starve again for a little bit. More not starving from Brian. More, I don't know what I'll be doing. I'm going to try to figure something out. But we will play that Animal Crossing thing over the weekend and report back what we thought of it. Brian, you have anything else you'd like to add or say before we go, sir?
Sure. I can't wait to play some video games on Thanksgiving afternoon when everybody else is sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be great.
Do you play football or anything? Do you anything like that on the big day?
No. Go outside and play football. We're going to actually do that. Yeah.
Mm. It sounds all right. I'd do that. I want to do that. Yeah. I'd need a little exercise. Wouldn't hurt anybody, especially me.
Right.
thank you all for joining us. We really appreciate
you know
being here.
You know what I really love doing?
What's
eating
that?
About 6 deviled eggs and then going outside and playing some football. That's That's good times.
Yeah, you're going to get a little bit of the, let me just call it that. We're going to call that the front. Anyway, have a great day, everybody. We'll, and have a great holiday if you live here in the States. If you live everywhere else, sorry, too sad. We'll talk to you guys later. Have a good one. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.